Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Health and Fitness Month. Wonderful, powerful Health and Fitness Month. And we've got a powerful guest today from all the way around the globe. Gwyn Williams is on the line to talk about martial arts and yoga and Zentai and so much more. How are you doing today, Gwyn?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Jordan. I'm doing really well. It's a nice, bright, sunny day here in Australia. So blue sky and lots of ocean and out in nature. So yeah, the day's going really fine.
Love it. Love it. Thank you for coming on the program, my friend. I'm really excited to speak with you about all these wonderful topics. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor. I'm happily to discuss my passions and answer any questions. So yeah, it's an honor to talk to you, Gordon. Thanks a lot.
Let's dive right in, man. Can you give us a little background on yourself and your incredible journey when it comes to martial arts and yoga and Zentai and the work you're doing now?
Yeah, well, let's say I was the angry, troubled teenager. Went through some tragedy as a teenager. I lost my father in a car accident. And,
oh, no.
And, you know, it was a big argument against life. And the sort of like coming out of that was martial arts. It gave me a focus. It gave me something just to channel some of that anger to. And I suppose I stayed at that from 14 to early 20s. And it was a great outlet. You know, the whole physicality of it, the whole focus of it. And then, you know, getting into my mid-20s, I was going deeper and deeper into the practice and trying to understanding this thing behind martial arts known as ki or life force, or as yoga describes as prana. And I was starting to move into these more, you know, I said deeper practice of martial arts like Aikido, which were more subtle layers of ki. It's not trying to take someone's head off, but more playing with energy. And around the same time, I discovered Zen Shiatsu, actually. Something about it just switched on for me. It was this how to bring yin and yang together, looking at the five elements and how they dance between these polarities of yin and yang. Mm. So I just like moving, I suppose, the ideas of qi and yin and yang for fighting into healing. And that set me off on a trajectory as a healer.
Oh, I love it.
And then as that went further down the track, it moved into, you know, yoga, Thai massage, osteopathy, and finally created this practice around about 10 years later of Zen Thai Shiatsu, which is a mixture of Zen Shiatsu, Thai massage, osteopathic technique, and then yoga crept in. And really, I just say this, it just really forms to what I see is goes back to the originality of martial arts. It's just coming back to essence. Mm-hmm. What's essence? Who are we? And which is the same conversation of yoga, really.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it?
It absolutely is. How would you describe Zentai massage, Zentai Shiatsu? How would you describe that to someone who hasn't heard of it before?
Yeah. Well, let's say it's a bit of a balance between structural and energetic body work. It's movement-based therapy. It's done on the floor, on a futon, on the ground. And there's lots of mobilization of joints. So there's a structural focus. And then there's a energetic focus as well that works along the meridians or the energetic pathways of the body. And there is a passive yoga thing that goes along with it as well, where there's some deep stretches, some basically, when I speak to someone that's reasonably new to it, I just say that the body gets caught up in patterns. It usually gets caught up in patterns, and mm-hmm. a lot of those patterns don't serve it anymore. So what we're trying to do is, if you like, reorganize the body and move it into a pattern that is, A, more functional, and if it's in pain, it's trying to move it away from anything that's in pain. So it's been a great practice to explore. It's continually evolving, as it is still now. I'm still learning and growing. I don't think it's ever going to stop. But yeah, I say it's about moving blood and qi along more free and easeful patterns.
Oh, I love it.
That serve the body.
And yeah. It's so interesting. I've seen multiple cases of this, MMA fighters, martial artists getting into nutritional work or chiropractic work or alternative wellness. Mm. And now I'm meeting you. This is a common thing. I think there's a lot of synergy between being in your body one way or another. Mm. What have all these physical practices like martial arts, like yoga, like healing work, what has this all taught you about human energy and human life force? What common threads of knowledge have you found in all these different practices and disciplines?
It's a great question. You know, I feel what you ultimately brings you to a lot of these practices, the physicality of it. But it's like anything. It's like when you first jump into something, it's that essence of interest, that passion's not going to be sustained unless it's got some depth. So when you move further into the practice, you want to go, well, what's really underneath this? What's underneath this physical practice of, obviously, you want to optimum your energy, you want to optimum your physical appearance, you want to optimize the way that you can move and the fast, strong, whatever. But then all of a sudden, that all that physicality starts to become a secondary thing, and you start getting more interest in the energetics. So what I see in the energetics is the similarity. It's based around a balance between what we call is yin and yang, or you could say soft and hard, or force and no force, and male and feminine. And then when you bring that into it, you start to see it played out everywhere. It gets played out in nature. It gets played out in conversations.
Right.
So for me, the common threads are, A, we want to maximize our energy. That's the common threads. We want to actually make sure our attention is focused in the most optimal places at the and we've only got a certain amount of time on this planet. So where are you going to focus your attention? So that's another thread that goes through to it. Be able to really target your attention at one place at one time with a real sharpened arrow. And the third thing that's really comes up as you get older is you start to recognize that there's this deep sense of interconnectedness between all things. All humans, plants, animals, trees, everything has this interconnected thread. And I think it's, even though it starts as a physical practice, it just gets deeper and deeper. It actually moves into a spiritual practice, really.
I love that, man.
We'll be getting back to the essence.
That's such a good point, though, because,
yeah,
you know, it's like whether it's doing Tai Chi or whatever practice it is, you're right, it leads you down that profound path and is very healing. I kind of want to come back around to what you said about, you know, having your troubled youth and having this be an outlet, having this be your kind of savior,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to martial arts, man, when it comes to traumatized males and martial arts, you've seen it a million times. You see it in the boxing world, in the Western world.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something about their spirit is wounded and their mind is wounded and they're wrapped up in that. And what they need to do is get into their bodies maybe and allow their mind and spirit to heal. I don't know if it's the connectedness with a trainer and a sensei. You know, you look at like some of the Taekwondo and karate and the belt systems and what that does to a mind. It's wonderful what that does to especially a masculine mind. I won't even say a male's mind, but just a masculine driven mind loves that sort of thing.
Mm.
Why was it so healing for you, especially when you were acting out?
Well, I think what happens when you go through this real angry phase of your life and you're questioning, you know, what are you here? Why is life? There's this big, like, no on life that's happening. It's
totally.
Like, this is a full argument going on 24/7. And there's lots of tension that gets built up over that. You're literally wired, and it doesn't need much for that, you know, to explode. And you're just out of sync, you're out of rhythm. I think what martial arts does, you know, with a good teacher, it just directs your attention to one thing, whether it's hitting a glove, it's targeting on an opponent. So when your attention on one thing, that tension that's in your body gets a place to, if you like, be channeled. So then there's the softening. So when that softening happens, then you start to see a wider view. You go, wow, is this, you know, as softening happens, you get older. And then you go, wow, is this life all about me? And then, you know, in a lot of these practices, the other thing that supports it is there's a community.
Yes.
It's a community, and you're all into the same thing. Quite often you've got similar sort of backgrounds. You're both into, you know, physical optimism. Quite often there's tension and there's some bad little, if you like, zigzags of life that you've had. And you create this community. And you go, yeah, okay, brother. We're doing this together. And then things start to shift. You start to shift into, you know, as you get a little bit older, and it's not so much about all about you anymore, about what you can get. It starts to move into what you can give. And when that's what was the flip happened to me with healing, wow, it was all about what I could get out of life. And I said, what about if I'm here just to give something back?
Mm-hmm.
And that really was, that was a big shift for me. That was the shift from, if you like, trying to just project and blame into, wow, I'm actually here to serve. And, you know, that's when the pedals really opened, if you like.
You're so right. And I think that's so, so important, especially for young people. It's somewhere between purpose and a humbleness and a kind of humility.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
And martial arts is such a good, there's many conduits, there's many pathways to that, but martial arts is certainly one of them.
It's great. It's mm-hmm. great. And there's the other thing that martial arts has, when you get to good teachers and you really go down there, it's, there's a sacredness in it. You know, there starts to become these old school words. I think they're great. They're just honor, you know, reverence.
Yes.
You know, bowing down to a greater self, which is the same practices that are alive in the yoga world. Bowing down, honoring something, then this small little me that's troubled. And then you get out of the way, basically, and something else starts to pour through you. And you go, wow, I've been living in such a troubled state, and I've actually been creating that troubled state myself. Let's get out of it.
So
you start
true.
Taking some ownership.
Man, you're yeah. speaking my language, man.
But that takes time. That takes time, you know?
It does. You're speaking my language, though. I'm right on the same page with you, brother. When it comes to yoga specifically,
yeah.
what turns you on most about yoga? I love what you said about focusing on one thing, you know, mindfulness meditations came to mind, or breathing practices. When it comes to yoga, what are the biggest breakthroughs you've had, your students have had? Just talk to me about your yoga life.
Well, you know, yoga came to me in a time where I was quite physical, and I actually moved into asana to try and stretch my body. You know, my body was tight. So I really wasn't doing yoga. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to get the stretch and strength out of it. But then I started to have these practices, you know, with a teacher that I, you know, he was a real mentor. He was a devotee of Paramahansa Yogananda, actually. He was, you know, a really deeply spiritual man. And he used to take my mind into these incredibly still states. And I realized then that it's this practice of stillness that we're doing in meditation is really the hub of where everything else spins around.
Mm.
You know, that's why I keep coming back to yoga. This practice of yoga is to stabilize and get still, so that when everything that comes and everything goes, it's not such a big thing, because you're really anchored. And that's what I teach my students now. Come to the center, come to that force in the middle, if you like, and let everything else just spin around you, and it doesn't affect you. You become rooted, and you're not so, like, if you like, pulled or pushed in one direction or the other. That's priceless.
You're so
that's
right.
Priceless.
You're like creating your own gravity there, as opposed to orbiting around someone else's
exactly,
energy.
Exactly, Jordan. Exactly. Exactly. That gravitational pull. And you become magnetic then, actually. You become a great teacher. You become a great mentor, because you know as well as I, if you're around a person that's really still and stable and quiet, it's magnetic. You just want to be around that.
You're right.
And then the opposite, if the person's just jumping from one wall to the other, doesn't know where they are, you just go, well, get me out of this place. I'm in a cyclone.
Right, right. It's like the almost like chaos on the other end of the stillness. Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's finding that little eye of the cyclone in yourself, and then it's not external. You've got that little place inside you. You don't have to look for a thing. You know, you don't have to mm-hmm. seek for a thing. It's been here all along. You know what? Holy heck, I've been, you know, I'm a walking embodiment of everything I've been looking for. And when you start to get that, it's just, yeah, that's maturity, I have to say.
Love it, man.
And that takes time, like I said.
Love it. Absolutely. Does it excite you to see how many people are getting into practices like this now? I mean, it's entered popular culture. People are starting to see the benefits. Even the people who aren't into the spiritual side are, like, you know, told they can't, they'll never be able to walk without a limp again. And yoga is doing some incredible things, like in the medical world. Does that excite you that it's getting big?
Super excites me. And no, specifically with the young male side of things, it's even more so. I would say half my classes these days, both with body work and yoga and the things that I teach, are full of young males. And I'm so excited about that, because that wasn't happening 10 years ago.
Right.
But in the bigger picture, I just feel there's a big shift happening. It's like when something's swinging one way, there's lots of distraction out there. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of lostness. So then on the other way, you've got these people or a big mass starting to balance that out. I want to connect. I want to get in. I want some more meaning. I want to be closer to nature. I want to come into what's real. So I see that because there's that shift of devices and lostness, the other one is gaining momentum as well to bring it back into the center. And I'm loving that.
You're so right. That's such a keen observation. One of my favorite podcasters, a comedian, was saying, the more safe spaces we have, the more mixed martial arts fights we're going to have in the United States. Because the further we go one direction, we go the other. And that's exactly what you just illustrated. That's a very astute point.
It's just the pendulum swings. It just swings. And it's just seeing that. It's trusting. And that's why people get really caught up in you could say the nature or the position the world is at the moment. You got to trust. There's a pendulum swing. The other way is going to come. Trust in it. Be in it. Be in that peaceful freedom state. It'll swing back if you don't jump into the argument phase with it of how the world sucks and it's going to blow up. What about just jumping into this trusting phase of going, wow, there's something else happening here. There's an other momentum happening here that is really based around the opposite than all the negativity, and start to focus more on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big thread going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think yoga is a large part of that as well. Like I said, many different conduits. What made you settle on Zen Tai ultimately? That is truly your true passion, your main occupation right now. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
What made you settle on it?
Well, Zen Tai is something I actually created. Zen Tai, it was my creation. It was, so originally it started as a bodywork form, but I feel at the essence of it. It has what's really deep and meaning for me, and that is that this jump out of this world of fragmentation and division and come into what's real, and that's disunity. Really come in, and whether that happens through the conversation of touch, whether that happens through the conversation I'm having with you at the moment, mm-hmm. whether it's happening through the conversation that I'm having when I'm surfing the waves, or whether it's happening by just having some eye contact with the checkout girl at the register, there's a conversation of unity that is available with this all the time.
Mm.
And I suppose as it moves further and further into and healing art, I said, really, this is the baseline of the conversation. Come back into these non-fragmented states. Let's meet at a place where it's not two people. It's one. It's not a bunch of different trees hanging out solo on ground. It's actually a forest vibrating together. And that's what really excites me,
mm-hmm.
that let's get more and more into the unity conversation rather than this, strive or I won't survive conversation, because that's old school. That really is. We've got to really trust in a bigger picture.
Yes. We are so further along than we give ourselves credit for, I often find.
We are.
If we would just trust ourselves a little bit more, love ourselves a little bit more,
yep.
and put some of the baggage aside, I think that a lot of people would benefit from the kind of thinking that you are describing. I think also a lot of it is everyone's stuck in their heads.
Exactly.
Everybody is walking around thinking about the future and the numbers that make up their bank account and when's payday and the next bill date and all that's all in your head. You are not in your body. You're not in the room you're in. You're not in the woods, for God's sake. I mean, it's really crazy. I feel like we've lost a lot of connection with our physical bodies in modern society, particularly where we're so blessed with so many other things. We've lost sight of this. Do you have some strategies, some habits, something to help us get a little more connected in our everyday lives in today's crazy world?
Yeah, first of all, I think it's really good to see that fear-based mentality that happens from that primal egoic self. And we have to step into individual, this is what I need to do in my life. I need to create some income, bing, bing, bing. But treat it like a dream, really. It is really a dreamlike state.
Mm.
Play the dance, play the game. Don't take it all so seriously.
Oh, I like that.
That's the thing. One thing people take, this is a few things that I said in my crew. I say, don't take it too seriously. You've only got a certain amount of time and attention on this planet. Where do you want to spend it? Where do you want to spend it? It's really good to create community or people around you that breathe and live your same ideals. we all have in our basic core basically the same values. We all want freedom, we want peace, we want love, we want joy, we all want truth. Those five are sort of like lingering around every human being. So have an inquiry, say, are you spending your time on those things that you really value? Or you're spending time because someone else told you something that you needed to do this or else you're not going to survive. So it's really good to have, I would say, another thing other than having a light look at life is to have a continual checking of self-inquiry and make sure that you're putting your time and attention on the right place.
Mm-hmm. Including yourself.
Including yourself.
That's a big part of it, wouldn't you say? And don't you feel that so many people lack that? I spoke with someone, a wonderful person, Janet Atwood, and she was talking about why people don't do the things they know they should do and they know that is good for them. And she talked about how it was an issue with self-love.
Exactly.
Do you think that there's a little bit of a self-love crisis? I think that the people who do the work you're talking about, they appreciate themselves on enough of a level to work on themselves and better themselves. And that's like where it all begins. Am I making sense there?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, what I say to people, you know, they say samurai. Samurai is to serve. We all have an essence to serve. The basic line of samurai, the warrior samurai, is to put yourself first.
Right.
Put yourself first, be selfless. Then you've got your arms to reach out and serve. Put yourself first. You know, the old Zen saying, know yourself so then you can forget yourself. That's what you want to do. Put time into really knowing yourself. Otherwise, we're just unconsciously approval addicts, you know, because we think we're not enough. And that's just the pattern people in. They hide underneath their pure potential, just spending their time trying to gain approval around some enough pandemic. So, you know, just to really know yourself, of putting time into, like you say, loving yourself and just feeling the fullness that is already there, that's a bottom line.
Yes.
No, I take a bunch of therapists through a program every year, and the basic underlying, if you like, thesis they write on that is to have this inquiry in who they are, where they come from, what are they doing here, and to really check in on themselves, you know, really get full by just knowing who you really are.
Yes.
You know, celebrate your authenticity, celebrate your footprint.
I love that.
So that's it. That's a big one.
I love
that's a big one. I see this I'm not enough pandemic. That's where there's tension in that. And then that tension, how do you deal with tension? You have an addiction. Hello, then you're spiraling downward.
That's exactly right.
It all happened because of this simple conversation, because you felt you weren't enough, which was just the biggest quack story that the only one that ever made it up was yourself, you know?
Yes, exactly. No, I'm right there with you. And like you said, I think you said two key things. First of all, the potential, unlocking that potential. And then you also use the word find the fullness or whatever the word was innately, in the innate potential, the innate beauty.
Yep.
I think that's that life, harnessing that life force that you're talking about helps people discover that.
For sure.
It really does. For sure. You know, gives people the confidence and the knowledge to understand themselves better and love themselves a little bit, right? Understand their place in the universe.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really, really key.
Imagine if you put as much time into that as much time you did about thinking about how much time we spend thinking about someone else's thinking. That's incredible.
Oh,
we think whatever people think.
Oh, yeah. What did this guy, think this when I said that? Did he
neurosis.
Take it the wrong way? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's neurosis, you know? And then imagine if you spend all that time saying, wow, I'm just actually going to go for a walk in nature and just really maybe just tap into breath and start to feel how, you know, gratitude is a great practice. How lucky I am to have a human body walking this earth.
Totally.
Gratitude is a great practice.
Oh, absolutely.
Gratitude is a great practice.
Yeah, especially when it comes to, you know, any level of health and fitness, right?
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely key. Since we are talking health and fitness here, what do you find is the biggest game changer for being in your body and having a healthy physical life, you know, whether it's supporting your spiritual life for deeper practices or better love relationships? Why is it most important for you to stay fit? Spirituality aside, when it comes to fitness, what do you think?
The first thing that I see that fitness shows you is something that parallels into every aspect of being, into your spirituality, into your emotional body, into your mental capacity, is it shows you straight up, it's physically there, is that commit. have consistency. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it works out. You got to commit. You got to have discipline. You put discipline into working out your body for a good 12 months, you reshape your body. So it really brings home that ideal of have consistency, have commitment to the practice. And then that parallels into all part of your life. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we've got a temple here. You know, you got a temple for a certain amount of time. You don't look after it. You don't put time into what you digest. You don't put time into that body physically. It just can't hold the essence that you want it to. It's a, you know, it's a temple. It's a sacred temple. Put time into it. You know, and this biological age and chronological age are two different things. Mm-hmm. I've seen 60-year-olds chronologically walking around with biological bodies of 30-year-olds,
right?
Just because they put time into it, and their vitality's up there. They're they don't have to compromise their life because they're not in pain. Their relationships are powering. Why? Because they put time into their physical body. And then I've seen the other people, 30-year-olds chronologically having biological, you know, 60-year-old bodies, basically because they abused it. They abused the temple. They didn't put anything in it. They don't exercise. They feed it with whatever sort of mental material. So it's a thing.
Yeah.
We can be inspired by people that put time into their physical practice. Check them out and what they eat, what they do, how they work out. Let that inspire you and don't think it's not possible. It's possible for everyone if they commit, if they have that discipline. You know, if they love themselves.
That's so true.
So it's just putting time in.
I love that message. That is a very inspiring message.
So the other one is the consistency. That's why people get lost with the consistency. Everything's changing so quickly. What happens now in 5 years, 100 years ago would take nearly 50 years to do it. We'll say so maybe 20 years ago. So it moves so quickly. So people give up too quickly. Stay at it.
Love it.
You know, I call it have the head of the disciplined horse.
Absolutely, man.
That's what makes it. It's freedom. You know, freedom and discipline are the two sides of the same coin. You want to be free, you know, show up fully every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Mm. I'm right there with you. Well, we're going to wrap it up in a second. Let me ask you one question, though, before we do wrap it up. Mm. You've done so many different physical art forms. When were you at your strongest? When did you feel your best? What were you doing at that time? I don't know if that's kind of a strange question or if there's two different answers for when you felt the best and when you were the strongest, but like what exercises were you doing? When were you at your peak and why do you feel?
That's a great question, actually. It's a really good question. Because I feel that I was probably, you know, I had a heart rate of 37.
Jeez.
At one stage when I was representing Australia, racing up mountains. So,
but racing up mountains, did you say?
I was a mountain runner.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so there you go. Now that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So you did a bunch of extreme physical.
I did a lot. I was an extreme athlete for sure. You know, in the martial arts and I did some crazy stuff. You know, and now I still do. I still do some amazing stuff.
Oh man!
And I feel like I was like peaked physically around that phase. You know, about representing Australia, running mountains. I was still training
running up mountains. As a martial artist. Okay, that's what did it.
Racing up mountains. Was it racing? You know, we were racing the mountain up, you know, the highest mountain in Southeast Asia, racing up and back in like 2 or 3 hours. Incredible.
That's so killer.
But I wouldn't say I was open mentally.
Interesting.
I would say I was closed in many ways. Mm-hmm. So I would say I would have peaked physically around about maybe 4 or 5 years after that, because I still had that real optimal physical practice. I was still really sharp. But I'd softened. I'd softened to a extent of, if you can see in martial arts, it's called Wu Wei, it's no force. So I was quite forced at that stage. And I'm like, wow, there's more available if I just back it off a little bit, meditate more, focus my attention more on what's happening now rather than what's happening in an hour or what's happening in a year. So when my mental acuity so like sharpened and I softened, and you know the Bruce Lee line of, you know, the less effort more powerful
I was just be. Gonna say that I was just gonna say be like water.
Yeah, but when I really started to embody that, yeah, I really was on top of my game. And you know, I mightn't have been doing the best times, but I was definitely moving with a lot more fluidity, a lot more sharpness, a lot more focus. And I was probably, you know, in my late 30s then. And that was probably...
That's great. Yeah, that's exact.
10 years ago.
Exactly the answer I was looking for.
I haven't lost too much of that now. You know, I haven't lost too much of that now. I'm definitely not quite as sharp.
That's a competitor in you. And, you know, if I was, if I had to do it now, you know, I think I'd do good. That's a competitor in you, man. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
I'm trying to beat you. I'm against you anymore. And that's even made my practice even, in a personal level, I'm a lot more satisfying. I have a lot more acceptance where I am, and there's more depth.
Yes.
I actually really celebrate getting older.
Totally. Yeah. And there's something about that. Healthy competition is such a simple way to put it. But what you're saying, it's competition without animosity.
Exactly.
And that is so healthy and
exactly.
fun.
Exactly.
But yeah, what a great answer. I'm glad I asked that question, because that was a perfect, poignant answer to wrap up the show, man. That was fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. Where can my listeners find out more about you and everything you do?
Well, yeah, basically, Jordan, I've got a couple of healing centers, one in Bali and one in Australia. And I run courses and workshops from there. I do a little bit of time in Europe every year in teacher trainings and things like that. But nearly all of it's covered on my website, www.zentaishiatsu.com. And there's a good bunch of videos on there. There's solo practices on there. There is therapeutic practices on there. And there's a whole lot of great philosophy on there as well. So I've written a couple of books, one Connected to Source and one the Art of Touch, or the Zen of Touch. And both of those you can check in on the website as well.
Awesome, everybody. ZentaiShiatsu.com. Check it out right now. Gwyn, this was a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for doing this, my friend.
Yeah, no, it was a great honor, and thanks for inviting me.
Totally. You're welcome back anytime, buddy. Thank you, everyone who's listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. This is Gwyn Williams and Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.